Good day, friends. The Church of Christ is on the air once again with a program of Bible truth. We're beginning a new series today on this broadcast, and we hope you'll stay with us in the weeks that are ahead as we deal with a sequence or a series that we've entitled Action in Acts. You know, when you begin to look at the New Testament, you find a number of things that at once come to your mind. When you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're aware of the fact that here are four outstanding inspired men who wrote the biography of the life of Jesus, and how wonderful it is as we thumb through those pages, as we stop to read them, and above all, as we meditate upon the marvelous truth. These four books prove conclusively to us that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And I believe that John, by inspiration, said it about as well as anyone could possibly say it in the famous 20th chapter of John's account of the Gospel, when he points out very definitely that there are many things that Jesus said and did that are not recorded, but we do have sufficient to believe that he is the Son of God, and by believing, we might have life through his name. And then, of course, we're talking about action in Acts, and that's the fifth book in the New Testament, and it's a wonderful story, a historical account that we understand was written by the inspired historian Luke, who truly was looked upon as being an outstanding recorder of the things that happened in the early days of Christianity. We want to take time in the broadcast as we go along to notice the outstanding events that take place here in the book of Acts. Beginning the very interesting study, we find that Jesus is upon earth, and the period of time that we open in the book of Acts is after his death upon the cross, following his resurrection, and before his ascension. If you're interested in verse 3 of that outstanding first chapter, you'll find that Jesus showed himself alive after his passion or his death by many infallible proofs. Those are proofs that cannot be denied, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. We're going to especially underscore in this study as we go along the importance of the kingdom of God. I think I told you some time before on this radio broadcast that in the lifetime of Jesus, we have Matthew saying no less than 32 times something relative to the kingdom, the great subject that's going to come before the mind of the apostles in this very chapter, just before Jesus goes to heaven, is a story of the kingdom. See, Christ had told in his personal ministry, beginning back in, Matthew 4 and 17, that he began preaching the same as John the Baptist did, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And now we have Jesus finishing his life upon the earth. We have his death upon the cross. The kingdom hasn't come. We have his burial. The kingdom hasn't come. We have his resurrection, and the kingdom hasn't come. And now during this period of 40 days, they are speaking relative to this kingdom. You know, Christ had stated, as Mark records it in his personal ministry, in Mark 9 and 1, that there be some of you standing here who will not taste of death until you have seen the kingdom come with power. So undoubtedly, these men, knowing little about this kingdom, perhaps as much as should be known about it, they were looking forward to the coming of the kingdom. Well, let's notice what follows here in the next few verses. I begin reading with verse 4 from the same first chapter of Acts. "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me." Now I would understand that since it says in verse 3 that they were speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom, that the promise of the Father, which undoubtedly is the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, that would guide them into all truth and righteousness, is also a part of this discussion of the kingdom of God. Again, Jesus goes on in his conversation with them by telling them, "John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." So when you tie these all together, we're aware of the fact that the kingdom, the promise of God, and the Holy Spirit must all have something to do with that which is associated with the subject that's being discussed during the 40 days that Christ has seen to them after his resurrection and before his ascension. And then we have a thought-provoking question in verse 6, and I want to leave with you on the broadcast today, because it's a ringing, we might say, indication of what was on the mind of the apostle body. In verse 6 it says, "When they therefore were come together, they ask of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Now there's the subject of the kingdom again. It would indicate to us that these men, as apostles of Christ, even though they'd been with him, even though they heard much of this teaching, from the very ring of this question, it would indicate to us that they were harking back to, we might say, the United Kingdom in the days of Saul, David, and Solomon. Those were the glory days of the kingdom of Israel. And it would seem that the idea that was upon the common mind of that day was that this was going to be an earthly kingdom. Now, there would be no indication when we look at the teaching of Jesus that his kingdom was really going to be of this world. But it is an interesting question, not alone because of what is asked, but because of where it fits into the scheme of our broadcast today. This is the last recorded question that we have asked of Jesus while he was upon this earth. And he takes time here before he ascends to the right hand of the Father to answer this question. There are two parts to the answer, one part in verse 7, the other part in verse 8. Now get the question again. Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? He saith unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Now, friends, this teaches me that there are certain things that we do not know that are in the power of God. And I am certain as you look at the Bible, you cannot, by looking at the Bible, fully understand the mind of God. There are things that we do not need to know about relative to our salvation. One man asked me not too long ago what he was going to look like when he got to heaven. I told him I didn't know. In John's writing, in one of his general epistles, he said, It doesn't appear what we shall be, but when we shall see him as he is, and we're aware of the fact that we don't know what Jesus really looks like. But be that as it may, this is an interesting answer because it shows that there are certain things that the Father's put in his own power that they won't know about. But there is something that they will know that certainly is an important point in verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. Now that eighth verse is one of the greatest verses we have in the entire Bible. I want you to notice the points here. In connection with the restoring the kingdom to Israel, the one thing they're going to know about this kingdom is that they're going to receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon them. I want to tie in with the writing of the Apostle Peter years later. In 2 Peter 1 and 3, he spoke of the coming of this power, when he said, His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. You may want to make that connection. That's 2 Peter 1 and 3. So after the Holy Spirit has come upon them, they're going to have power. And what are they going to do? They're going to be his witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. So talking here to his followers and certainly to his apostles, we are aware of the fact that Jesus is telling what's going to happen after that Holy Spirit comes upon them. Now, fortunately, in this series of broadcasts, we're going to deal with the coming of the Spirit. We're going to leave the full answer to that question as it unfolds in the book of Acts as we get to that point. But one thing I want to say right here is this is the last thing that we have recorded in the Bible that Jesus said before he went to heaven. And I believe it's paramount that we keep in mind that he's talking about them being witnesses of him in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. You know, this is indicative of the fact that he was talking to the apostles, because an apostle must be a witness of, well, the events in the life of Christ, beginning clear back with John the Baptist and coming on down through the important factor of his resurrection from the dead. I'll give you a reference on that from the first chapter of Acts, right in this same chapter, down in verse 22. I'll read it for you. Well, he's talking about them indeed being with him, accompanying with him, beginning from the baptism of John, unto that same day that he was taken up from them, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. Now, Matthias had to meet those qualifications in the last part of this chapter to be numbered with the 11 apostles. So what I'm trying to say is that the apostles here are the ones who are being dealt with. They're going to receive the power. They're going to carry the gospel of the world in the exact order that's mentioned here in verse 8 is the way in which it was carried. First, it began in Jerusalem, and anything that would affect this metropolis area would affect the province of Judea, of which Jerusalem was a part. In the 8th chapter of Acts, we have not one of the apostles, but we have a follower of Jesus and a follower of the apostles' doctrine, an evangelist, Philip, going down to the city of Samaria and preaching Christ to the people in that 8th chapter. Even in that city, he was able to convert Simon, who had been a sorcerer. And the last part of the chapter deals with a representation of that which is beyond Samaria, or the uttermost part of the earth, referring to the Ethiopian. His conversion is found in the final chapter there, final part of the 8th chapter of the book of Acts. Well, then we notice here that Jesus is ready to leave, for after he does speak this, or as the book says in verse 9, and when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received them out of his sight, received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Isn't it interesting that the first thing that happened after the resurrection of Christ was this wonderful prophecy, or the ascension of Christ? The first thing that happened after his ascension was the very fact that he's going into the cloud, but he's going to come again. And we look forward to that, and I hope you're prepared to meet him when he comes. We'll be talking about that later. But keep in mind, your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ that have brought you this broadcast invite you to their services. Listen for time of meeting and plan to be with us next time as we continue on with Action in Acts.